Let's start off with a quick, I don't know, a story to get started. There was a pastor. We were in Michigan running a Christian school for 17 years. And Pastor Burkott, in Michigan, you know you're from Michigan when you show people what? What do you show them? Show them the hand. All right, so we lived right up here. That's where our Christian school was. Then there's something called the Upper Peninsula, right? That's right up here. It's right up here. And Pastor Burkott lived right up across the Mackinac Bridge. And every day they would load up a van of students. And they would bring those students across the bridge down to the school. And Pastor Burkott taught our Bible classes. The Lord gifted him with a gift of, I don't know if it's a spiritual gift, called sarcasm. But he used it. He used it well, and kids and Ben was probably saying, "Yeah, he was fun to have as a teacher." But before he was teaching there before Mary Beth and I came and started working at the school. So before we got there, this is the story that was told me. Pastor Burkott was not a big sports guy, but he had three boys. Two of them were athletes. The other one was a piano player. I don't know if there's a how that all works, but that's what happened. And so when his two older boys were in sports, I guess the story is he went to a basketball game one time, and he was helping the referee. Is that what you call it? The referee wasn't making the calls that Pastor Burkott thought that this guy should be making. And so he was over there like some terrible Baptist dude running his mouth, this and that. And finally, the referee just literally stopped the game and he walked over to the stands and he just said, "Look, if you can't make a positive comment, then just stay quiet. Only positive comments." So the sarcasm that comes so fast to Pastor Burkott, he said, "Okay, I'll make a positive comment. You are positively the worst ref I've ever seen." And the referee said, "You're out of here." All right, so he got kicked out of the gymnasium for making a positive comment. All right, so what does that have to do with our lesson today? We're going to be talking about, how to be positive, how to stay positive in a negative world, all right? How to stay positive in a negative world. Our key verse is going to be Philippians 4:8. So you can turn there. And this is new to me, being kind of in an auditorium class. I'm used to teenagers, and I'm kind of walking around throwing out verses. So if I ask you to read a verse, which I have a lot of verses to get through today, if you're willing, if you can read loudly, even ladies, if you can read loudly enough and you're willing to look up a verse and read it, I don't know with the video how that all works, but they'll just have to figure that out. We don't have to worry about it, right? And so Philippians 4:8, and so we're going to focus. We want to learn how to focus our minds on positive things. The last time I taught here, which was just one other time, we talked about how man is made with a body, a soul, and a spirit, all right? So we are a triune being. The middle part of that, the soul is also, our soul that's within us is a triune soul, so to speak. So it's made up of the mind, the heart, and then the will, all right? The mind thinks, the heart feels, and your will decides what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, okay? Now, what you think about determines how you feel, and what you think and feel about things most often dictates or determines what you're going to do. Not always, but what your mind thinks and what your heart desires most often is what you're going to actually do, unless you can live so much by principle that you're going to do what you know is right, no matter what your mind and your heart says to do, okay? And so the Bible, therefore, is very clear that our thinking, the power of our thoughts are so important. I want you to put a bookmark right there in Philippians, and we'll come back there. I want everybody to turn over to Proverbs. We're going to look at just a couple Proverbs verses. Proverbs chapter 12, all right? Proverbs 12. And Ben, I think I'll have you go to 2 Corinthians 10:5, okay? And we'll catch you there in just a minute. Proverbs 12 and verse 5. And could I have Drew volunteer to read that for me? All right. So let's look at what the Bible says about our thinking. Go. Okay. Read that first phrase one more time. The first phrase of that verse.
The thoughts of the righteous are right.
Okay. The thoughts of the righteous are right. So what that means is when I am thinking righteously, my thoughts are what, Drew? They're right. I don't always think righteously, all right? I try to. Positionally, I am righteous in Jesus Christ. I am righteous. But I don't always live or think that way. But when I am thinking righteously, I am thinking right. All right, let's look at another verse there in Proverbs. Let's go Proverbs 15, verse 26. Proverbs 15, 26, and read that for me, Adam.
Thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words.
Okay, so here we have a kind of the flip side of what Drew just read, and that is the thoughts of the, next word? The thoughts of the wicked are what to the Lord?
Abomination.
All right? So when we are thinking righteously, that is right. When we are thinking wrongly, it is an abomination to the Lord. Our thinking is very important. That's going to kick us back to our key verse of Philippians 4:8 in just a minute, because our thinking, we have to understand that our thinking is so important. If I want to be positive in a terribly wicked world, it's not easy. It's easy to focus on all the bad around us, but that's not the desire of God for us to be. Ben, I had you 2 Corinthians 10:5. You're going to recognize this verse, but it's important. Go. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Okay, so I have to, I am commanded by Scripture and given the help by the Lord Jesus Christ to bring every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. I can do that. We sang this morning, victory in Jesus. I can have that victory, again, not through my own power, but through the power of Jesus Christ. I can bring those thoughts, whether good or evil, I can bring them into captivity, and I can claim them as good and right, or I can reject them as not right. But my thinking is so important. Your thoughts will determine whether you become a positive person or a negative person. One of the greatest secrets to living the positive, productive life while living in a negative, destructive, discouraging world is this, right? This is one phrase, which is kind of the gist of this Sunday school lesson, and it's this. I must learn to discipline my thinking. Let me say that again. I must learn to discipline my thinking. Now that brings us to Philippians 4:8. And just before we read it, let's pray one more time. I know I just prayed, but I'd like to pray again. Father, I pray that you will help us to understand what you're saying. Help us to have a good time in here with the Word of God, the truth on our laps, and I pray that it would just guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. The story is told. The story is told of two boys. One is an extremely pessimistic boy. The other, extremely positive about everything. So, extremely negative, extremely positive. And it was so extreme that the parents said, hey, let's take these two boys to a psychiatrist or a therapist, and let's see if we can try to medium. We've got these extremes, and let's see if we can medium out a little bit. And so the first boy that was always negative and pessimistic about everything, they took and they filled the room with every toy that was ever made. I mean, they just had this room packed, and they put the boy in here, and they thought, let's take this negative boy and see if we can raise his esteem up. This other boy that was extremely positive, they opened up a room, and it was filled with horse manure. I mean, like 3 feet deep horse manure. And they put him in there. And so they left him in there for about 3 or 4 hours. And then the therapist went back, and he went into the room where the boy, this negative boy, opened up the room, and the boy is sitting in the middle of the room just crying. And he said, what in the world does it matter? You have all these toys. What's the problem? And he said, I just don't know what to play with. And if I played with it, I would probably break it. Oh! And the therapist thought, oh, man, I sure failed on this one. This boy. And so he went to the next room, ran over here, opened up the door, and he came in. And this boy that was in there with all the horse manure, he's down in his hands and knees. He's throwing this horse manure. He's just throwing it everywhere. And the therapist said, what in the world are you doing? And he said, oh, man, all this horse manure in here, there's got to be a pony somewhere. I'm going to find him, all right? And so what's the difference? And so my wife and I, I remember that story. I remembered part of it. And so I asked her yesterday, I said, will you look up that story? And so we were talking about it. And last night she said, yeah, you're the toy person, and I'm the manure person. I said, what? No way. I'm the manure guy. You're the toy person. So we were battling back and forth. So this is one time where you want to be a manure person, all right? You want to have an attitude that is positive as opposed to the attitude that's negative based upon Philippians 4:8. Here we go. Let's read. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Read those last three words with me, will you? Last three words. Ready? Go. Four words. Think on these things. Math is not my strong suit. Well, yeah, it is. All right. So here we go. We're going to go through this list, and I'm going to give you the positive and negative of each of these things. First one. By the way, I got this lesson. I just want to give credit. Jerry Ross is a preacher, and he put together a list of some really good, helpful lessons. We have some boys that are in the ministry, and we send them this book. And this is. The main outline is from his book, so I just wanted to give him credit for where the kind of the outline of this came from. Okay, number one, is it a truth? Is what you're speaking? So how do I be? How am I positive? How do I stay positive? By right thinking. Okay. So what does right thinking look like? Number one, is it a truth or is it a lie? Does that feel like opposites? Truth and lie. Okay, let me ask a question, and I do want a response. What is truth? Not a hard question. What is truth? What's that? Bible. Yeah. Where does truth come from? From the Word of God. Anytime that something goes against what the Word of God says, we know that we can go with the Word of God. My thinking has to be in direct relationship to what the Word of God is teaching. How do I know what the Word of God is teaching? I have to read it. I have to study it. I have to think about it. And let me tell you this, and you guys know this as well as I do, that just because our young people are coming up and they're going through the church and they're going through Christian schools or Christian homeschools and they're going through that does not always mean that that is getting deep down in their hearts that the Word of God is dictating what they are doing. I'll illustrate it this way. Okay, so is it a truth? Is it a truth or is it a lie? Child rearing. What does the Bible say about raising children? Our motto was beat 'em, bust 'em. That's our custom. Beat 'em, bust 'em. No, not really. But we did spank our children. Why did we spank our children? Why? Well, two reasons. Because my mama and daddy did. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The Bible says that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The Bible says, if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not surely die. Matter of fact, you will save his soul. Okay? So that's the Bible truth. I need to think that way because that's what the Bible says. All right? But let me tell you what the world is saying, and now even the churches are saying, and that is, hey, I heard this. Spanking doesn't work with my children. When I spank my children, they actually get angrier at me and at the situation. It's just a lot better if I use a timeout system or if I use... And so what's happening here? Do you catch what's happening? They're leaving what the Bible says is true and they're going with what the world, and may I say Satan, what Satan is directing them. Okay, let's leave that situation. Mary Beth and I, what's the date today, the second or the first? First, okay, so it was almost one year ago today that we were leaving Michigan and coming to North Carolina. When we were packing up, we had this TV in our living room that somebody gave us. You know, when you're in the ministry, people always give you stuff they don't want. So this TV, I'm not kidding, Dr. Beal, this thing was this wide, and it was this tall, and are you ready for this? It was this deep. I am not exaggerating. The thing was huge. So right before we got ready to move, Mary Beth and I, we'd been talking and whatever. We didn't use it as a TV. We used it as a video. We had video machines and things like that. And so we kind of were careful. We were real careful about what we watched, but we still watched a lot of stuff, more than what we should have. And I remember loading with about four of us. We loaded that TV into the back of my truck. I drove it down to the dump. This dump, you back up, and then there's this great big hill. Oh, yeah, this is cool. And I remember taking that thing and just shoving it off the back of my truck, and I watched it. This 700-pound or however much, bah, 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 bah. And it rolled down, and it just, you know, smashed at the bottom of the hill. Since then, we didn't get another TV. We're content with the way we are. Well, why? John, why did you do that? Okay? And again, this is for me. I'm not trying to push anything on you guys, but I'm going to tell you this, that the stuff that is on the television is wickedness. And I knew it. And I said, you know what, Lord? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So I took the truth of the Word of God, and I made application to my heart, And I said, good, bad, ugly, whatever, I'm getting rid of it, all right? And so I let the word of God be the truth that was going to guide me. Okay, let's move on. Here's some verses. John 17:17. Do you know it? Can anybody quote it? I'll give you the first two words. What's that? Good. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, do I want to have positive thinking? I need to think truthfully. That is, biblically about stuff. Psalm 1:1-3. If you know it, I'm going to kind of read and quote it. If you know it, quote it with me, all right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hey, if I'm gonna think right in a bad world, if I want to think positive, I want to think through truth. So is it a truth or is it a lie? Second thing on our Philippians 4:8 list. What do you see there? What's the second thing? If you're still there, is it true? Is it honest? All right, so the opposite of honest is, I'm going to use this word, catch this. Is it honest or is it unproven? The word honest in this verse in Philippians 4 actually means venerable. Venerable. I didn't know what that word means. So I asked my wife. I said, what is venerable? So you're not allowed to answer. Does anybody here know what the word venerable, what do you think it means? What's that? Come again? Okay, holy. Holy? Anybody else want to take a stab? Venerable? Yes. Oh, good. Yeah, that's almost, let me read what was in this lesson here, okay, with the word venerable, and it says this. So, venerable means something proven, something that has stood the test of time, honorable, ancient. So, are the things that I'm thinking about, have they been proven in the past to be true by godly men and women that have been holding the line, holding the faith? So they've been doing that for a while. And so are the things that I'm thinking about in accordance with what has been taught in the past? We're living in a time where many young adults seem bent on trying to disprove or discount what generations of Christians have held sacred. Do you know, in Michigan, there was a pastor, and this was their Wednesday night slogan. Are you ready for it? Wine in the Word. Come together, and we'll have our favorite wine, and we'll study the Word together. That's in the church. It wasn't a Fundamental Baptist, thank goodness, but that's increasingly become more and more rapid. Why? Because people have said, what was done for all these generations, they're putting their hand up, and they're moving away from that, and they're going on to the, you can't prove to me from the Bible that I can't drink wine. And so then, therefore, they're trying to put away, the stuff. Jeremiah, somebody look up Jeremiah 5:5. Somebody else look up Jeremiah 6:16. While you're turning there, and then I'll call on you, let me tell you, in Jeremiah chapter 35, there were a group of people called the Rechabites. Do you know who the Rechabites were? Rechabites were a group of people. My wife gave me, she wrote out a set of cliff notes. Let me read these for you. I thought it was pretty good. He did a good secretary there. Okay. God told Jeremiah to bring the Rechabites into the house of the Lord and to give them wine. And so Jeremiah did. They refused, the Rechabites refused to drink the wine. Why? Because 300 years earlier, they had had a, we'll call him a father, that said this, we're not, they weren't of the tribe of Israel, but they had kind of joined up. They liked what they saw. They joined up. But there were two things that the father said: I don't ever want you to drink from the fruit of the vine, and I don't want you to live in a house. I want you to live in tents. So the Rechabites had been forced to come to the city because of attacks that were done. But even in the city, they were living in tents, and they would drink no wine. So here they were. They were hungry and thirsty. They were coming before Jeremiah. Jeremiah was offering them this wine, and they said, no, we won't. And so Jeremiah was using it against the children of Israel, say, hey, I have these Rechabites, and here they are. They're being faithful to what a father said 300 years ago, and you guys have the word of the Lord talking to you, saying, don't do this, and yet you are, okay? So the gist of this is, if I want to have right thinking, I want to stick to what the forefathers before me taught, and I am going to continue. Do you know that the young people of this world, they poo-poo the idea, oh, just because your daddy did it, you're going to do it? Watch this. Yes? Well, I have the word of God, right? We talked about truth, but there is not one thing wrong with if you had somebody before you that did right. I think, Doc, I think as he sang last Sunday, I was sitting right down here, he was up here singing, I listened, and I enjoyed it, and I think here he is, and he is teaching and training, and he's got this baton in his hand, and he's beginning to pass it off to other people. He's passing this baton off, and what we don't want, we want the people that are taking that baton to keep the same baton. And I think what's happening sometimes in some places is they're taking that baton and they're saying, oh, this is old-fashioned. We'll put it down here. Oh, here's a new one. Let's take this guy. Now we'll run with it, and we'll give it to the next generation, and they'll throw that down, and they'll get something that's worse, and pretty soon we're on this snowball effect. It's important for us to stick to the old past. Did anybody look up Jeremiah? Where were we? Jeremiah 6:16. Okay, go. Thanks. Isn't that last phrase sad? We will not walk therein. But he's saying, walk in those old paths. Stay in those old paths. Jeremiah 5:5. Anybody have that? I see that hand. Okay, again, I will walk in the way of the Lord as men. So is my thinking honest thinking or is it unproven thinking? Okay, that's the second thought. Third thing on our Philippians 4:8 list. So is it true? Is it honest? Next one, is it just or is it unjust? Is my thinking just or unjust? This word just has the idea of self-evidently right. In other words, unquestionably right. I don't have to question whether or not this is right. The opposite of that is either self-evidently wrong or, catch this, questionably right. What does questionably right mean? What does that mean? Maybe right, maybe not, right? My grandpa Wells was saved. I'm going to say he was in his 30s. Is that right, wife? 30s or 40s. He got saved at that age. He grew up on the farm. And so grandpa's phraseology was a little different than the Christian home that I was. And so we'd get around him, and he had terms that he would use about, you know, farm things, you know, and we were like, ooh, what did grandpa just say, you know, and so later on, you know, we would we would every now and then try throwing something like that out, and it usually didn't work real well. Grandpa, by the way, Grandpa Wells led so many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. After he got saved, this is just a testimony of his life. He had an oil business where he went around and delivered fuel oil to all the farmers. That was his business. And he sold that, and he went to the church that he was going to, and he said, I would like to work here full-time for no pay. And they're, you're hired. And he became, I don't know, he was just the unofficial visitation bus, fix it, whatever needed to be done, Grandpa Wells. And he, just a simple man, very smart, and he just led many people to the Lord. Why? Just because he wanted to do what's right. But us as kids, we would hear that stuff, and it was kind of a little bit questionable. So, are the things that I'm thinking about, are they unquestionably right? To develop our principles of life from truths that are unquestionable is very important. It's a warning to us to avoid not only that which is wrong, but to avoid that which is questionably right. I must guard my mind against any mental exercises where you are trying to rationalize something questionable into something that's okay. You know the rationalization that we can do as human beings? Okay, so I know that they charged me this much. They only charged me for two, and I got four. But you know what? I'm in that store all the time, and you know how many times they've probably jipped me off? I mean, this one time, I think I can take all four of these and not tell them they only charged me for two. Are you catching the rationalization? That's at Lowe's, by the way. What? Okay. What's the right thing for you to do? If I want to be positive in this world, I need to think so that I am always being just and not unjust. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God has good gifts, but those gifts come when I am doing just what he wants me to do. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things, 1 Thessalonians says. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Am I living justly? So we've gone over three things. What's the first one? We said, Is it true? What was number two? Is it honest? Number three, we just went over. Is it just? Number four, what's the next one? Is it pure? So is it pure or is it impure? Pure means clean, innocent, modest, chaste. That's what pure means. So what does impure mean? Is my thinking pure? Or is it impure? Impure means unclean, sinful, immodest, unchaste. This is a warning against any thoughts that can lead us towards immoral behavior. You know what's going on in this world today as far as morality? It's pretty bad, isn't it? It's pretty bad. People often live together. And not even just outside of the church. Sometimes even in the church, they want to live together for a while to see if this is going to be a good thing or a bad thing, and then they'll decide whether they're going to get married or not. How did that happen? That didn't happen without some thinking that went before. They began to have some thinking that was not pure. They began to have impure thinking. Psalm 119, 9 through 11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from my commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Young people that are in here this morning, understand this. Satan is out, Charlie, Satan is out to destroy you. And he would love to get in your mind, and he would love to bring impure thoughts. Okay, Charlie's a young man, and I wish it only happened to young men, but I think that it happens to all people. The Bible does talk about to men a lot more than he does ladies about this, but I think it's for both genders. But there's issues of impure, wrong thinking. And so how do we fight against that? We fight against it by the Word of God. Do I want to have a positive mind? Do I want to have a positive mind? I've got to keep those impure thoughts out. I'm not going to have a positive mind having impure thoughts in my mind. And so we do it by memorizing Scripture, by having some go-to verses when Satan begins to tempt us. We got to have places that we're going to go to. Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. One more verse. Job said this in Job 31, verse 1. I made a covenant with mine, what's the next word? With mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? I'm looking up at the clock right here, and I have about 3 minutes left. And we have a few of these left, and that's fine. That's fine. You guys are getting the idea of what's going on here. So let me just kind of recap everything. The end of Philippians 4:8 says, think on these things. If John Thompson wants to be positive for the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care about positive with the world. I don't even care about necessarily that you think that I'm a positive person. I do want to be a positive person. No one likes being around, not many people like being around, a negative type person, a person that's always drawing you away. So how do I, if I have some tendencies, if I'm a toys person, I want to become more of a manure person, how do I become more of a person that is positive in my attitude? It's like this. I began to let my thoughts be directed to the Word of God and the things that God wants to teach me, and I begin to put away those things that don't fit into the mold of God's Word. And then God will begin to renew my spirit, and I will be able to live more of a positive life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the rest of the things that I didn't go over, let's just say those things. Are you in Philippians 4? So I said true, I said honest, I said pure. No, I didn't. I said just. What are the last few? They are pure. They are lovely. They are of a good report. And then it says, if there be virtue, if there be praise, think on these things. So let's make sure that our minds are going the right direction. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the clearness of your word, and I pray that you will take these few simple words that were spoken, and I pray that it just be an encouragement to us to have our minds renewed in Christ Jesus, walking with you. Bless our pastor, who is a positive person, positive in the way that he approaches the Word of God, positive in the way that he looks at us, his people, that he is an over-shepherd for, and I pray that you continue to guide him. Use him this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed.